God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a very special interview coming up next. The Encouraging Word. Dr. Wilton's being interviewed about a very unique book about the absolute certainty of life after death. And while he does that, know that we're available for you both online at theencouragingword.org and 866-899-WORD. We'd love to connect with you.
All right, well, welcome to this very special edition of The Encouraging Word. We are really excited to have Dr. Wilton with us to tell us a little bit more about a book that he wrote and a book that I recently read. You may have too. It's called The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. So we're going to get a chance to ask the author a few questions about the book itself and what prompted him to write this book. Thanks for being here, Dr. Wilton.
Well, thank you, Christy. I couldn't be more delighted than speaking about the absolute certainty of life after death, because we all think about it and we're all engaged in it.
Yeah, that's true. And you just look at the title, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, and everybody wonders about that. I mean, we're all kind of thinking that way, and the title itself is fascinating. I'm wondering what life events happened for you to stop everything, because you preach on this subject all the time. What made you sit down and write this book?
Well, Christy, back in 2003, I was with a whole lot of young people actually in Texas. And I noticed that my arm began to swell up. And I came back home, and in a very short space of time, medical folks told me that I had developed a problem. I went to the hospital. I never left there. Turned out that I had a blood clot in my shoulder, and had to go straight from there, went into surgery for over 4 hours. And I'm glad to say they fixed everything up. Mm-hmm. But during that procedure, the doctor had told me prior to that, he said, listen, blood clots are blood clots. You can die from this. And I just want you to know. I said, well, thank you very much, you know. Thanks a lot. Great news, you know, just before you go to sleep. And I was in sort of la-la land and just found myself drifting around, so to speak. How do you explain that? And I saw myself. I saw myself lying on the table. I saw the doctor working on me. And I saw and heard the doctor turn to my wife and say, I'm sorry, Karen, but he's gone. To my wife, and she loves me. And he put his arm around her. And I just remember the peace that I had in my heart. I mean, it was just an incredible. Everything was bright and light, and I was just peaceful. And in the next second, I guess, I was back. I was being wheeled out into ICU. And as I began to come around and go through that experience, it all of a sudden, I said, what is this? And you know, knowing the Lord Jesus, I believe in life after death in Christ. And so I sat down and I began to write this book. And it's just a novel, Christy, but it's a story. And what I did, God just flowed through me. And out of this experience, my own life experience, came the absolute certainty of life after death.
How long did it take you to write this?
It took me about 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
So that it just flowed out
of me. It just flowed out of me. And by the way, I had the time because I wasn't allowed to go anywhere.
So you had a little time to write, but
I still just was in one place on one bed.
So you mentioned this is a novel. It's fiction, fictional characters, but it is based on a parable that Jesus told in the book of Luke.
That's correct. Luke chapter 16.
Tell us about that parable.
Well, Jesus said that there were two people, two men, and they both lived, they both died. One went to heaven and one went to hell. And by the way, Jesus told the story. And all of the Bible is true, but I pay particular attention for the fact that Jesus said this. And Jesus never tells us anything that didn't actually happen. This was not a fictional character. Jesus didn't call over the angels and say, angels, come over here, help me to make up a story so I can give people like Dr. Don Wilton something to preach about on The Encouraging Word or to write about in a book. Mm-hmm. I take what Jesus said to be what God is saying. And he told the story about the reality of these two people in their life after death. So I took what Jesus said and I wrote a novel about two characters in real places where I've been to, mm-hmm. from Louisiana to the United States to Europe, they all real with the names and the places and the feelings and the interactiveness, all my years in the great state of Louisiana, and all the fun and the things and the food, the crawfish.
You can definitely fill in the blanks on some of the locations in here.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Love all of that. And some of the finest people in the world that I lived among and served among all those years. And then, of course, overseas in Europe with my background and places I've been to in France and in Italy and so on and so forth. And God brought all of that together in these two main characters of mine, and I tell the story of them living their life, where they came from, their perspective, then how they died, and what happened to them after they died.
Yeah, their choices. It came with not just their situation, but their choices, it seems like.
That's
the two
correct.
Characters, yeah. Two main characters there. Now, this book is told in three main parts. You want to briefly summarize the three main parts?
Well, the first part, essentially, and we're summarizing it, right?
Yeah, right.
The first part is about these two men, okay, who grow up, their birth, their growing up, and their context. Very important. Who were they? What made them tick? Even some of their childhood. I mean, I even laughed some of the things I was talking about. The naughtiness of children and what they got up to, you know. And I've had people all over the country tell me how they just pack up because they can see themselves. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little hint here. A lot of that's in me too, you know.
That's very relatable.
So the first part is about that. The second part is how they go about this mysterious thing called dying. They both get sick. I even describe their diseases. And I consulted the medical community. I wrote with meaning and with purpose. What happens to a person when they die? Now, I want to know that. Because we're all going to die. I've been around death so many years, and I've held many, many hands and so many of our loved ones. We want to know, what is this? It's this big mystery. What happens when you die suddenly? What happens if you get sick and you die slowly? What happens if you die in pain? What happens? Well, I just described these two men, my characters, and the process of dying. So that's the second part. The third part is what happens the moment they die. What were they thinking? Were they thinking? Did they just suddenly stop? Now, I don't have any problem with what I think, because I've stood with many a precious person who has died. To me, I look at them and I say, they did. My heart's sad. I'm sorrowful. But are they? And why would Jesus, Christy, why would Jesus tell us that we keep living? Now, I'm trying to wrap my minds around this. Because when I look at someone who's died, they have no life. But Jesus says, they do.
It's not the last chapter.
It's not the last chapter. And not only do we have life, but we have life in a specific place, and there's only one of two places. So I just took what Jesus said. Then I went back into the Bible and I studied these two places, and I told the story in the third part around these two places. And I'm going to tell you something, Christy. Don't for one minute think. Trying to describe hell was not a nice thing for me.
I was going to ask you if either the two characters were harder to write about in their situation there in part three, whether they were in heaven or hell.
Well, when Billy Bob died and went off to heaven, I wrote with the greatest joy. I'm just telling you, it just flowed out of my heart, and I just kept thanking God that I belonged to Him. And I knew that because I did, everybody could. You know, because God's got no restrictions on any person. It doesn't matter how old, young, what race, what culture, what background. Right. God loves us, and Jesus died for all of us. So that's Billy Bob. So I write this incredible account of heaven. But then I had to write about the other fellow. And I'll tell you something. It flowed out of me, but only because I believe the Bible.
And Albright had everything at his fingertips, it seems like. And he had a terrible thing waiting for him based on his choice. Is that right?
Well, you know, Albright, I tried so hard to love Albright because I've met Albright everywhere in America. And I've met Billy Bob everywhere in America, mm-hmm. you know. But Albright in particular, he was an American man, classic, lived a life of great blessing, great privilege, did well, succeeded. And his whole background, which I spent a lot of time on it, and his family and his travels, you know, that's me. I mean, I love to be all over the place and go here. And of course, the book reflects that, you know, I love it. I love traveling.
Oh, there's rich detail in all the places you talk about.
Being in this place and that place and being with my family and the grandkids, you know, all of it. But, you know, Albright had this barrier. He didn't know Jesus. He had all the trappings. And he masqueraded. And I think Albright genuinely thought, because he went to church once in a while, that God would let him into heaven, and he was absolutely wrong. And I think that he really thought, I don't say this then, but I think maybe even thought, because he was an American citizen, maybe God would let him into heaven, because at least he wasn't born in one of these other countries.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He seemed to have a lot of power, influence, and money. Do you think that it is wrong for people to have or seek power and influence and money during this lifetime?
Absolutely not. In fact, the very opposite is true. I don't preach prosperity gospel. I don't believe it. But I will tell you this. Why don't you try and just trust God to bless you? Because He does. God wants to prosper us. And I believe all across, I've met scores of the most wonderful men and women who have succeeded in life, have been blessed with millions of dollars, with beautiful homes, with planes, their own private this, and they are the most wonderful Christian people. But Jesus did say this. So I got to put this in here, Christy.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
And why is that?
Because when we are blessed, I'm one of those, when we are blessed, it's harder for a person who has everything to see their need of anything. And the more a person is blessed before they come to know Christ, the more the question is, well, why do I need Jesus? I mean, He says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Well, I don't need any need supplied. I don't worry where my food comes from. I don't worry. That is why, Christy, I've been to third world countries around the world, from Africa to Asia. You can go and preach on the street corner and thousands of people gather. Why? But you try and do that in America. And somebody will come up and stone you. They'll think you've lost your marbles. All right? What is this? It's an affront to our society, and I'm being radical when I say that, all right? But rich people are so blessed. And when I talk about richness, I'm not just talking about the dollar. But in Albright's case, that was the truth. He was a fantastic businessman. He was surrounded by comfort. He didn't have to think about where something was coming on. I mean, I even have him sitting on his plane ordering, you know, one drink after another and going to this place and a holiday home here. And isn't that wonderful? There is nothing wrong with any of that. But his need was that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and he would not. He knew what he needed to do, but he saw no need to do it. And I think with well-placed people, the number one thing that gets in the way is pride. I really do. It's a pride thing. They kind of say, you know, man, if I go and give my heart to Jesus, what's everybody going to think of me? But now they will have no problem going to the club or to the ball game or facilitating this. Well, I do all of that. I love all of that. Give me the golf club. Right. Give me the ball game. I love to get up there and shout and hoop and holler with the best of them. But I've got Jesus in my heart. And I know that Jesus has given to me forgiveness of sin. Money can't do that. He's given to me peace in my heart. Blessings can't give that to me. He's given to me purpose in my life. And he's given me life after death. Not even my wonderful family can do that. I could be married to the most wonderful lady, and I am.
You are.
And I love her to bits.
Yeah.
She's my best friend, and I'm besotted over her, and we've love each other, but not even Karen can give to me life after death.
When you read this book, you really get a sense of urgency. Would you say that that urgency is directed only to unbelievers that might be reading this book?
No, Christy, that's a great question. I think the urgency when you read that book, because a lot of people have told me this, first of all, strikes the heart of people like me who believe. So let me talk about me. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I preach on the encouraging word across the nation, around the world. I'm loved by a local congregation of people in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm so privileged. But I'm telling you, when I wrote that, an urgency came out of me. What was the urgency? To tell as many people I can about this good news. Could I put it in more dramatic terms? My urgency is every time I see a person, rich or poor, I don't see people through a lens. I see people as people. Doesn't matter who they are. Old, young, male, female, tall and short. The urgency of that book and what Jesus said in Luke 16 is, do they know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Not, well, do you go to church? What kind of question is that?
That's right.
They asked that of Albright. He went to church, but he didn't go to heaven. Here's another question. Do you give your money to the poor? Are you benevolent? Do you help support missions? Well, what kind of question is that? Albright, you can support missions, but not go to heaven.
Right.
What's the fine line? Do you know Jesus?
That's the main question. And people have so many questions about death. You know, when a relative of mine dies, can they see me on earth? What happens when we die? This book seems to address a lot of those questions that people may have when they read this.
Those are the difficult ones, aren't they? So where do I go for that? Jesus. And listen, Jesus took three of his disciples onto a mountain. And by the way, I've been to the same mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. And he took on his resurrection body there. And guess who they saw on that mountain? Moses and Elijah. And let me just tell you, Moses and Elijah had been dead for a bunch of years. So I'm going to be very graphic here. They were nothing but dust. So go and dig up any grave you like of people who have died, and you're not going to find a whole lot there. Dust to dust, all right? And that's another story, by the way. Why do we go back to dust? Because it was from dust that God made us. Don't forget that. He created man and woman from the dust of the earth. So we go back to dust in death, out of which he recreates us into our absolute certainty of life after death forever. It's the recreation. We go back to the Garden of Eden. And that's what I'm showing here in this book. Now wind that all the way back. When people die, all people who die, see us. They know us, but they know us and see us perfectly. Now I'm going to really crack you up here. I had one lady who read this. I've got to tell you this.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going where angels fear to tread. And she'd been married to a wonderful man for like 40 years, and he went to heaven. And 5 years later, she met a wonderful man, and she married him. And they were very happy, and she read The Absolute Certainty. She came to see me. She said to me, Dr. Wilton, she said, I'm so nervous. I said, what? She said, my husband who died is going to kill me. Because you're saying in there that people who have died see us and know us. So he's up there saying, just wait until I get my hands on this new husband. Right?
Yeah, is that's
that
what not, you think.
Isn't that real?
Yeah.
You know what I said to her? Total peace in your heart. Because your husband is seeing, knowing, doing perfectly. Okay, now how do you describe perfect? Perfect means there's no angst. There's no worry. Now get this one. There's no ownership. She doesn't belong in an ownership sense. She is in a love sense, but not in, she doesn't belong. Because you can't own anything. Owning is a human attribute. All right? Mad. There's no tears, no anger, no upset, no possessiveness. So he is seeing this perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, if at anything at all, he's as happy as a lark.
And that's a blessing just knowing that.
Oh yeah, you're free.
So what kind of personal blessings did you receive after you wrote this book?
Number one, head and shoulders, my own daughter, Shelley. I love her too, but she's our baby. But don't think of her as a baby. She's a beautiful girl. I'm so proud of her. And today she serves with the Great Samaritan's Purse organization. And she's actually stationed in a very difficult area in Africa. And she's in humanitarian Christian work there with Samaritan's Purse, involved all over the world. I haven't seen her for the last year. We talk a lot, by the way. Thank the Lord for WhatsApp and things like that. But let me tell you about my daughter. My daughter grew up in our home. She grew up in a good Christian home. She was loved to bits. Two older brothers who just loved her. She knew. She went to church. She went to youth group. She went on camps. She went on missions. And besides, she was my daughter. I'm sure she got real tired of it, but she heard me preach a bunch of times and talk about Jesus. But she battled. She battled with her own salvation, knowing Jesus. You see, God doesn't have a family plan for salvation. You don't know Jesus because your husband does, or because your mother or father do. That's the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus. He brings me into a personal relationship with him. Well, we were out of town. We were on holiday somewhere. I was probably on a beach. I was fishing, doing something like that. When we came back, there was a letter sitting on my desk at home. Daddy, I need to tell you something. She said, I walked into the house, came home from college. And she said, I sat down and picked up your book, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. She said, I sat here and read it from cover to cover. When I got reading it, I gave my heart to Jesus.
Wow.
And my own daughter, preacher's daughter, all the background, a classic Albright maybe, without the private plane, gave her heart to Jesus. And my daughter's life turned around completely. Now, if I can say this, I've thanked the Lord from that day, because I see the fire in her heart, the love she has for her fellow man, the way she serves the Lord, for the leader that she's become, and where she serves him and her openness. I've said to the Lord many times, Lord, thank you for giving me that blood clot. Thank you for me going through that surgery. Thank you for writing me in that in my heart. Thank you for putting me in that bed for 2 weeks where I couldn't move. And thank you for letting me write the absolute certainty of life after death. Because I believe I did it for one reason. My daughter Shelley. And if that is the only reason, Christy, it was worth everything I thought I ever did.
Absolutely. And it's helping so many people every day. Real quickly, we only have a few more seconds, but how can they get a copy of the book if they want to read it as well?
Well, they can go to The Encouraging Word, go to the web page. There's a number that'll come on the screen. Information will be provided. We're there for everyone. And we want to connect. And we want to make it possible and get alongside folks. And so we'll do anything we can to make not only ourselves and the Word of God, but even a book like The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, available to anyone who asks for it.
Thank you so much for your insight on this book. It's truly a good book. Thank you, Dr. Wilton.
Thank you, Christy.
Our time's gone for today, but there's more of this wonderful interview about the absolute certainty of life after death coming up tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word. Between now and then, let's stay connected on our website, theencouragingword.org is the place to discover resources like this book, but know this as well. Dr. Donna wants you to know we're here to pray for you as well. 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org with more resources like this.
I'm going to ask a penetrating question right now. What happens when you die? Where exactly do you and I go? You know, over my many years of ministry, and from so many of you, I get so many questions about life after death. All of us, people like you and me, are fascinated with the subject of life after death. That's why God led me to write the novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. This novel that I wrote was birthed out of my own personal, I think, near-death experience, and it just flowed from my heart. It's the story about two men in a real world, one died and the other man died. One went to heaven, the other man did not. And it's based on what Jesus teaches us in His Word. This book will change your view of heaven, and it will help you to understand the significance of what it means to be with Christ or to live separated from Him forever. I want you to have a copy. Call the number on your screen and request your own personal copy of my novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported broadcast ministry, and your financial support helps us to reach just one more for Christ. And this book has been used to change lives all across America.
The Daily Encouraging Word devotional book has meant so much to me. Please let it continue. I am now requesting that the word be sent to two of my grandchildren. I feel strongly that both of these young people can profit through using the daily devotional.